Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Early Childhood Development Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yes.
Now, it's not often that you get a peek into someone's past, you know, and you learn what kinds of things shaped this person, what things made this boy the man he is today, for example.
And it's not often that you can see, when you do get a glimpse into the past, you can see how much of the future would have been predictable from what little you saw in the past.
Well, I don't know how these came into our possession, but I'm sure everyone knows that our technical editor is John Bugsy Lawler, and he's... the look I'm getting...
he just got it.
But I have in my possession letters that he... Every week we poke fun at his... What would you call it? Interest in food, I suppose you'd have to say, right?
I mean...
right. Deep, lifelong interest in food.
Like last week, we talked about he was back from the Seneca Lake rump steak, sponge cake, milkshake, French flake, shake and bake.
Well, here I have in my possession some letters that he wrote to his mother when he was in camp.
He was nine years old. He was 9 years old, and they sent him to camp.
Yeah, I'll just read some excerpts. The first day was pretty good, but the second was lousy. Oh, I'm sorry, dear mom.
Dear mom.
The first day was pretty good, but the second was lousy. I don't want to stay another day. I suppose you don't want to stay 2 weeks because the food is lousy. I've been sick for the past 2 days, and I'm sick of it. The beds are uncomfortable. I can't stay a month.
These are real letters.
These are real letters written in his hand.
We wouldn't make this up.
Dear mom. I love the place, but I want to come home. The suppers could be fed to pigs, and they'd complain. And here's one of the I guess he's ready to come home. It's the end of his sentence, or his stay. I'm having a ball, but I want to be the first to leave so I can get home soon. If it's possible, can Daddy pick up a sub, a watermelon, and a nice juicy pizza and have it waiting for me when I get home? Your son, John. I mean, you can't make stuff like this up.
he signed one of these letters, your half-crazy son, John. Hey, we even know the name of the camp. Camp Cedar Crest.
Yes. Well, that was their last year in business. Well, oh,
okay.
God.
Hide these.
These will be on the website. But I do have some very cute pictures. Look at that. Isn't that a nice picture of Bugsy when he was just a boy?
Wow.
Yeah, and here he is in his birthday. So, well, that'll be on the website, that's for sure.
Wow.
If you'd like to call us about your car, or Bugsy for that matter, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Lee Anderson from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Lee.
Hi.
From where, Oklahoma?
Tulsa.
Tulsa.
Oh,
yes.
Tulsa.
Yeah.
Like in 24 hours from.
Yeah, probably. I've never made the drive, but I would assume so.
No, it's a famous song. I was 24 hours from Tulsa.
Oh, well, I've never heard it.
No, you're too young.
Yeah, probably.
I guess so.
Yeah, you have to be at least like 71.
Well, it's about 50 years on me then, so.
Yeah.
What's up, Lee?
It was a Dvorak song, I think.
I have a Toyota 4Runner that 6 months ago I decided I was going to be a liberated feminist and try to change my own oil. And I read the manual that reads like Japanese stereo instructions and thought I could figure it out, made the attempt, got my car, took it for a test drive. I had a friend in the car and decided to smoke. And my friend assured me that was probably just because I had overfilled the compartment and the oil was just burning off, I guess, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And after driving for a while, I was still smoking. I said there was
When did the fire start?
Yeah, exactly. After about 5 minutes, I decided that I didn't want to wait for the fire, so I pulled into the nearest mechanic. And after about 5 minutes, he came out laughing and told me that I had actually drained the transmission fluid and filled that with oil, and I still had dirty oil in the other compartment. So about $150 later, which would have cost me $27 at a quick lube, the problem was fixed. They flushed it a few times. But ever since then, especially when I'm going uphill, from first to second gear, it won't catch very well. It goes all the way up to 5 RPMs.
So what did when you drained out the transmission fluid instead of the oil, and then where
she drained the automatic transmission
fluid. Yeah, but then where did you add the new oil?
In the automatic transmission fluid compartment.
Oh, you did? How'd you know enough to do that?
How'd you do that? I mean, that's not easy. That's not easy to do. That's why I'm questioning it.
Well, I just poured it in.
Do you feel liberated now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, $150 later.
You liberated
of her money.
Yeah. The guy brought five of his friends out just to see this ridiculous maneuver I tried
to
pull.
Okay, so you actually poured 5 quarts of oil into your transmission.
It only took like 3 quarts, and I thought was odd. But
yeah.
Yeah.
So you had never added oil to this thing, so you didn't know where to put the oil.
No, I had no idea.
Whatever possessed you.
I'm in medical school, and I decided if I could do medical school, I should be able to change my oil.
What field of medicine are you pursuing?
Well, I'm actually just a first year, so I haven't decided yet, but hopefully nothing that has to do with systematic parts.
No,
nothing that has to do with fluids.
Stick with dermatology.
Yep.
Well, anyway, here's the deal. You added a lubricant to a system that doesn't really have a lubricant. I mean, the transmission oil is a lubricant of sorts, but it's not anywhere on the scale
of lubricity
that motor oil is.
Lubricity. We both pulled that word out. Wow.
So you, while I'm sure they got a lot of it out, the reason that it's slipping now, or you have what's called a delayed shift, is that the oil that's still in there is wreaking havoc on the clutches and the bands and all the other pieces.
And they didn't really get it all out because it's not easy to do that.
Did they just drain it out, or did they hook a machine up to it?
They hooked a machine up to
it. Oh, they did?
Yeah, they said they had to flush it 3 times, and they told me to put it into all the gears.
Well,
they didn't do it enough.
Okay.
We're either that or you're done for. And I'm going to vote for you're done for.
No, I'm not. I'm going to say you go back and they flush it 3 more times.
Okay.
And
yeah, but for another 85 cents, you can have a rebuilt transmission put in. I mean, this is going to run into money.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I would go back. I would take Tommy's advice.
Okay.
What was I thinking? Somebody hit me. and have them do it again, several times. And if that doesn't fix it, then you're done.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
I really appreciate the advice.
Aren't you sweet?
But at least I tried.
Well, at least you tried. I mean, I don't know where you got the instructions, but evidently you read the instructions somewhere for changing the transmission fluid.
So if you ever need to know how to do that, come find me.
So when you... do you have instruction books in medical school?
Yes, but they read a little bit more clearly than this Toyota manual.
Oh, so. They do.
And you got this out of the owner's manual?
Well, just to find the compartment.
So the rest of it you intuited.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Didn't do a good job.
You got to be a great doctor.
Well, thank you guys very much. I really appreciate it.
Well, good
See
luck,
you, Lee.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for calling. Bye.
I think a transmission for that's going to be about $1,500.
I mean, she had to make some giant leaps to get to where she gone.
Yeah, but she's that kind of person. I mean, she wouldn't be in medical school if she weren't able to make those leaps.
I'm not going to Tulsa.
Me neither. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Chris from Goose Creek, South Carolina.
Goose Creek.
Goose Creek.
Okay. We're with you, Chris. What's happened?
I got a 94 Thunderbird, and it has developed a loud clunking rattle that is coming from what sounds to be like the forward right axle.
A clunking rattle. I'm having trouble imagining a clunking rattle. I mean, it's very heavy.
Yeah, it sounds like almost like a piece of metal that's just like really kind of jiggling around, like banging up against stuff. And it only happens anytime I'm going over any kind of uneven ground or bumps.
And it's a deep sound. It's not a tinkly sound, but a real thud.
Yeah, real thunk.
And if you go over a bunch, like a washboardy type road, is it blah, 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 blah?
Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible.
Okay, and it's so horrible that you waited to call us instead of having someone look at it.
Well,
yeah.
I kind of looked at it myself.
Yeah.
And it looks all right down there. I mean, it doesn't look... I don't know. It looked kind of solid to me, but I don't know nothing about cars, so...
Yeah, how would you know?
I do feel like I could be in some kind of danger, though.
I think so.
Yeah. No, I think you could be in serious danger. This sounds like...
How long has it been making the sound?
It's been a couple of months.
Oh, Chris.
Yeah, I think it's imperative that you take it someplace today and have them look at the ball joints, especially.
The ball joints.
Yeah, because you could easily have a ball joint that's on the verge of breaking, and it would make exactly this kind of sound. Or if you're lucky, it's something like a strut that's gone.
Okay.
And you might be able to, I wouldn't want to put your mind at ease by suggesting it could be a strut. I think you really need to have somebody look at it.
It's very dangerous. I mean, a clunk, a noise like that in the front. Don't forget, the wheels are there. And if there ain't no wheels, the car really does funny stuff, you know, when the wheels fall off.
I can imagine.
And don't forget, if a ball joint breaks, the wheel is going to end up underneath the car sideways.
Wow.
And you ain't going to have a lot of steering left. And it's going to spin around.
You have, but just with the other wheel.
Yeah, man, it's going to be ugly.
Okay. Is that expensive?
Forget it. Don't worry about how expensive it is.
Are you saving for a trip or something?
If you're saving your money for your old age, don't bother. Because if you keep driving around in this car, you're going to have no old age.
So the money's either going to go to the ball joint or a burial plot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's up to you.
I think I'll take the ball joint.
Good idea.
I would too.
Good luck, Chris.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Cameron. I'm calling from San Francisco.
Cameron.
Cameron, that's right.
Cameron.
I have a serious problem.
Speak to us, oh great one.
Okay. I'm writing a book called The Bad Girl's Guide to the Open Road. It's due to my publisher next week, and I still haven't figured out how to burn rubber. Now, this is something that I think women really, really need to know how to do. And the men in my family have disappointed me, and I thought I'd call you guys and see if you could help me out.
Well...
What is this book, The Bad Girl's Guide to the Open Road?
Well, how girls can behave badly behind the wheel of the car, just like boys have done since the beginning of time.
We don't need this book. Oh, we do need this
we
book.
We don't need this book.
Did they give you an advance?
Absolutely. Well,
take it and run. Don't deliver the damn book. Let them chase you.
Well,
it's interesting, because I have noticed, and I was in the process of writing a little R&R, as we call them, a rant and rave, about the fact... that more and more women are testosterone poisoned. I have found more incivility. Is there such a word?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Among women. More aggressiveness on the road among women.
Well,
lately.
Maybe it's just directed toward
to me.
You.
Well, I'm hoping that women who will buy my book, and there will be even more of them out there on the road doing the same thing.
And you'll be rich, and you won't care. Because you'll be living on the Amalfi Coast and you won't care what goes on here. But that's
no,
okay.
It's a fun book. It's a humor book.
We understand.
I hope so.
All right.
Here's how you do it.
How to burn rubber.
First of all, if you have an automatic transmission car, it's kind of hard to do.
And
not impossible.
And if you have traction control, it's hard to do too, because it won't permit you to burn rubber.
Right.
Yeah, I think that might be my problem with one of the cars I've been trying.
Well, back in the old, I remember when I was in high school, my pal, Ed Green, convinced his father to buy...
What facility is he in now?
I don't really know.
Yeah. All your friends from high school seem to be in some kind of federal facility.
Some kind. But he convinced his father to buy a brand new, I believe it was a 65 Chevrolet... What was it called at that time? Impala, probably.
Impala, yeah.
With a stick shift.
No.
Ooh.
Yeah. So he buys this car with a big
V8. And a 350 engine.
And a stick shift. And this was a car for burning rubber. In fact, the great deal was to drop someone off at his house an hour after his curfew. Yeah. And as he was trying to sneak in to, as they said, lay a patch of rubber by doing the following. Putting the gas pedal about 90% of the way to the floor and popping
while
the clutch.
While your foot is still on the clutch.
Yeah, your foot's down on the clutch.
You're in first gear.
You put it in first gear, you floor the gas, and you let that clutch right up, and it is accompanied by screeching tires and smoke. The smoke is burning rubber.
Yeah.
And all the neighbors, of course, would turn their lights on, and it would be pretty exciting. So that's the classic way to do it, and you have to figure out how to do that with littler cars. which isn't so easy anymore.
It's not so easy.
Yeah, I was not getting the desired effect. It was sort of sounding like an embarrassed...
Well, what are you trying it with?
Are you doing it with a stick shift?
I've tried it with a stick shift and...
Automatic.
Automatic, yeah.
Well, with an automatic, you can load it up. You know, you can floor the gas pedal practically while holding your foot on the brake.
You know, get it up right past that red line.
Uh-huh.
Get it up to like 7,000 or 8,000 RPM and then pop the clutch and you'll burn rubber.
Yeah, if you get the RPMs high enough, you can do it with even a Honda Civic.
Yeah.
Now, one other question. How bad is it for the car?
Bad.
It's bad.
It's bad?
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, every now and then, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Ed Green did it with his father's car. What did he care?
Yeah. Right. It's better to do it with someone else's.
It's better to do it with someone else's.
Got
so
it. Okay.
Borrow a car and borrow a friend's car.
Okay.
Good luck, Cameron.
You won't mind.
Thanks a lot.
Oh, our pleasure. It's always good to help.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Tommy, look, are you ready for your weekly fill-in-the-blank puzzler hints?
Go ahead.
All right, fill in the blank. You claim that the secret to your long, happy marriage is that your wife is always in blank.
Taos, New Mexico.
No, control. She's always in control.
Oh, she's always in control.
And here's your second hint. You've been called a ranter. You've been called a raver. But now that you're older, perhaps we should call you what?
Dr. Tommy.
No, I was looking for a rambler. Anyway, the puzzle was about a 65 Rambler and the mysterious control on the dashboard, and we'll have the answer in just a minute.
There's a banana behind the back seat. I bought it sometime late last week. The expiration date don't bother me tonight. Driving must be a drug. Things ground into the rug start to look like they might taste all right. When your stomach is distended, all thoughts of sleep have ended. You get fat, but you're awake when you get home.
And even though identity thieves immediately return everything they stole from us whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from Car Talk and NPR sponsor BetterHelp, a truly affordable online counseling service. Fill out a questionnaire online and get matched with a licensed counselor best suited to your mental health needs. Whether it's depression, anxiety, or trauma, BetterHelp will help you overcome what stands in the way of your happiness. Learn more at BetterHelp.com and get 10% off your first month with promo code CARTALK. BetterHelp. Get help anytime, anywhere.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the Walton Family Foundation, where opportunity takes root. More information is available at WaltonFamilyFoundation.org.
When the economy goes haywire and you need a podcast to turn to, Planet Money is here for you.
Are we already in a recession?
There's no question that we are about to enter a period of substantial slowdown in the economy.
Listen to NPR's Planet Money, emergency podcasts whenever the news demands it.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. This was an automotive puzzler. We haven't had an automotive puzzler in a while.
No.
And it was sent in by a fellow named Roy Harvey, and he writes the following. This happened to me way back when I was commuting to college. The car was a 65 Rambler Classic with power steering, power brakes, automatic transmission, six-cylinder engine, and no air conditioning.
What a car.
In other words, it was my parents' old car. The year and the car aren't important, but there are some cars with which you couldn't have this particular condition. The car had maybe 80,000 miles on it, and let me tell you, they were hard miles. Anyway, I was driving to school, and about halfway through a 15-mile trip, the alternator light came on. It was daytime, so the headlights were already off. The heater blower was already off. I turned off the radio, but the alternator light persisted. I began to worry. And then I turned one control on the dashboard, and the light went out. And it wasn't the ignition switch. So this told me what the problem was, and I continued on to school without concern, and I later fixed the problem with a few simple tools. Now, here's the hint that I gave. This control had no direct electrical connection to it at all. Hmm. In other words, it didn't have any wires hooked up to it. How could that be?
How could that be?
What did he do?
I have no idea.
Here's what he did. Now, in lots of cars are set up like this. He moved the heater control valve, which has connected to it at one end, the little lever you move.
Yeah.
And at the other end, connected by a cable, is a valve which allows water to pass from the engine to the heater. And when he did this, the water pump, which had been causing a slipping belt all of a sudden had so much less drag on it that the belt, which was slipping and causing the alternate light to come on, went off, because now the belt was not slipping because he had reduced the pressure in the flow just for enough time.
Oh, bogus! Bogus!
Every week I struggled to come up. And what am I met with? Bogus?
No, bogus. But we do have a winner. We got a guy named Dr. James Randall.
See?
He's a doctor. James Randall from Long Beach, Mississippi.
Yeah, well, hey, they have doctors
there, too.
There's
such a place.
Yeah.
Where are you from? I'm Long Beach, Mississippi. And for having his correct answer selected at random, Dr. James Randall from Long Beach, Mississippi, will receive... What is he going to receive?
A $25 gift certificate
to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get, now get this, 1 9/16 copies of the CD, Why You Should Never Listen to Your Father When It Comes to Cars. Now, this guy has the option of sending in the $25 and getting back change. But he's not going to get any change.
No, we don't do change.
We don't do change.
No.
So he's going to end up paying $25 for one CD. And then what's he going to say? That's no good. I can get something else because I got $8 left.
By kicking a few more bucks.
Kicking a few more bucks, and he's going to buy two CDs. Well, congratulations, Dr. James Randall from Long Beach, Mississippi.
Anyway, we'll have a new puzzle coming up in the third half of the show today. I'm sure it'll be as challenging as last week's. So don't give up on us yet. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. I'll do it again. Bogus.
I wasn't sure where the emphasis should go. No, okay. I know that we're going to get some mail from professors of mechanical engineering suggesting that this puzzler has a fatal flaw.
Not
that I understand anything about mechanical engineering, because
Did you take fluid dynamics, you dope?
You mean for breakfast? No, of course
All
not.
All right, well then.
I had orange juice like everybody else.
That explains a lot. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jane Rogers from Winfield, Kansas. I need some advice.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you, gentlemen.
So what's your problem, Jane?
I'm considering buying a stretch limo.
Oh, no.
A used one.
Why?
The reason he's upset is because I, too, am considering buying a stretch limo.
Good for you.
And I don't need any other wackos to reinforce this guy.
Well, nobody in my family over the age of 21 thinks of playing with a full deck.
Well, they're probably right, and we know that he isn't, but anyway.
One taco short of a combination plate, they say around here.
Yeah, my grandkids think it's a great idea.
Well, yeah, kids like it.
Yeah,
The world is full of Ford Tauruses and little blue Toyotas.
Yeah.
So you want it so you can be different?
Yeah, well, I like it.
What do you plan to do with it?
Drive it.
Just drive it around town?
Drive it around town. Every now and then, maybe to Texas if I want to meet a lot of highway patrolmen.
Well, I think it's a wonderful idea, naturally. And I have met with the same kind of response. Little kids think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
And other people who call themselves adults think that I'm either stupid or wacko. And they're probably right, but it has nothing to do with this.
Yeah, but well, we smile a lot.
What he hasn't told you is that he wants to ride in the back. He wants someone to drive him around. He wants to sit in back with the kids.
No, here's what my theory is.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you have kids? You said grandkids.
Yeah, I have grandkids.
Well, I have kids.
Okay.
And, you know, you take two kids and you stick them in the back seat of the car, and immediately they're starting to argue about things. You're on my side, I'm on your side,
yeah.
He touched me, Ma. And all of a sudden, they're fighting and they're screaming. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to press that little button on the dashboard and have that privacy window just go... And suddenly they disappear.
Well, there's
about 21 years of age. Then you let them out.
So, I mean, I think that's a great idea. And it's a great way to travel. If you're on vacation, you can throw the kids in the back. It's got a TV, a refrigerator.
Wonderful.
So you want to buy a secondhand one, I take it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, of course.
They don't make these new.
And I also, I want to make some money when I sell it 15 years from now.
Yeah, I mean, The truth is, I've been looking at them, to tell you the truth. I mean, okay. I have been looking at used limos, and the best deal I found so far was an 84 Lincoln Stretch.
Yeah.
That was going for $6,000.
Oh,
and I came
wonderful.
Very, very close to getting that one.
Oh, that sounds nice. And
the guys... Uncle Enzo have one, some bloodstains on the back? But the...
Yes, that was. I got a discount for that one. And this guy that was selling it pointed out to me. He asked me why I wanted it, and I was perfectly upfront with him.
Yeah.
I told him to keep my little kids quiet because they were making me crazy.
Uh-huh.
And he said, and don't forget, on the weekends, you can make a few bucks doing a wedding once in a while.
Sure.
I thought that was a great idea.
Yeah, you should get yourself a camera. You can do the photography. You can do everything. Get you out of the house. Give you some kind of a social life.
So, Jane, I am all in favor of it. But
okay,
you really...
Pointers. How's the gas mileage on these things?
Terrible. I mean,
terrible?
They get about 7 miles to the gallon.
Oh, well, that's all right.
But who cares?
But who cares?
What do you drive now, Jane? What kind
of
a Toyota?
I have a 52 Cadillac convertible.
A 52?
Hold
Cadillac
on.
Convertible. And I have a, I don't know, some kind of a sensible Chevy van from the 80s.
Are you married, Jane? My brother's ready to fly down.
No,
and kneel
happy.
At your feet.
You have a 52 Cadillac convertible?
Yes, I do. Aren't I lucky?
How about if I swapped you by the limo that I just bought? Would you give me the 52 Caddy?
No, I've been offered new Cadillacs for it, though.
Yeah,
oh, I bet you have. Well, don't give up that 52 Caddy. That's a beauty.
Oh, there's no way. No, I just like old cars.
Let me just point out to you that if you are going to buy a used limo, you have to be very careful to have it checked out very, very carefully.
Is it best to get it from a dealer or from the limo service itself?
Well, you're not going to find one at a dealer unless he got it from a limo service.
Okay.
So I would go for the limo service, but I would then take it to a dealer and have them check it out completely. Because with a limo, you can't tell anything by the odometer.
Yeah.
So if someone says to you it's got 70,000 miles on it,
it
means nothing because they never turn the engine off. So if it has 70,000 miles on it, it means it's been running the equivalent of about 480,000 miles.
Okay.
So you really have to have someone look at the engine and the front end because they wear out.
Okay.
But you'll love it, Jane.
Okay, thanks a lot for the advice,
And
fellas.
Your grandchildren will like it. Thanks for your call. We had a lot of fun.
Okay, have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, you know what time it is now?
Time to cut the grass in the oil change bay?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chump! This is the part of the show where we check in with a previous caller to see if we committed a sin of omission, commission, or...
transmission! So who's our lucky contestant this week?
This week it's Michelle from Illinois. Do you remember Michelle? Neither do I.
No.
It says here Michelle had an accident involving the front end of her 97 Saturn. When she got the car back from the body shop, it wouldn't start. It was totally dead. So she did what any mature adult would do. She had a hissy fit and pounded on the steering wheel, jumped up and down on the hood, and lo and behold, the dash lights came on. So she came up with an inventive solution to get it to start.
What I did was I put my foot outside of the car and I rocked it back and forth and back and forth and back and forth until I got enough momentum that I could hit the ignition switch when the lights came on, and it started.
All right, so...
So, what's wrong with it?
Doesn't anyone screen these calls? I mean, I don't even understand the question.
No, she's not getting current.
Yeah.
There's a wire that goes between the engine and the chassis of the car, and then eventually to the battery. And that is the ground path, or the return path, for all the electricity that comes out of the battery. So if the electricity can't get back...
We call them little Eddie and Edie Electron.
We do, huh? Okay. So if little Eddie Electron can't get back home, then he won't leave.
That's what my wife always says. He won't leave. I've done everything. He won't leave.
Well, let's see how we did. Michelle, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, look,
here.
Before we find out which was groundless, your circuit or our answer, we need you to confirm that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
I have not spoken to you since my last appearance.
Great. And is it also true that the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff or by the anger management counselor that you've been working with, all the $20 that we sent you?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Okay. Was it in the battery circuit, Michelle?
It absolutely was in the battery circuit.
Whoa!
And they must have listened to the show.
What was it, the gas cap?
They must have listened to the show because they were so embarrassed. They paid for my car rental.
No kidding. And what did they actually replace? Was it the ground strap?
No, you know what? They just hooked the battery up, like you said.
Oh, it wasn't tight.
Right.
Yeah, it was a loose connection.
Oh, that's of course right. They would be embarrassed.
Right. But you shamed them into it. They must have listened, and you shamed them into it. Into paying for my car rental.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful, and it's especially wonderful to be right. This is like the first time in months that we've been right on Stump the Chump, so I guess that $20 really does work out.
Well, thank you so much, you guys.
And thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, Michelle.
I'm happy to do it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Right again. I mean, right. Again? If you hear someone on the show that you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, you can email your suggestion from cartalk.com.
Or if you can't wait, you can call and stump us right now. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 8-882-782-55. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Nathan from Marvin, South Dakota.
Marvin, South Dakota.
Oh, man.
But that sounds like a hopping place.
Oh, yeah. We're about 20 miles from the Minnesota border, so we're not quite in the boonies, but we can see it. From
Gateway to Minnesota.
You can see it, right? So what's happening?
Well, my wife's 94 Chevy Cavalier has a little temperature problem. Its temperature, when you first warm it up, it raises up to 260, basically maxes out.
What's 260?
260 degrees.
Degrees.
On the thermometer on the dashboard.
The scientific gauge there, yes.
Yeah, but when does this happen? When you said
when you're going to get your ice cream cone 30 miles away.
Yeah.
How far along in that trip does it do this?
About 5 to 7 miles down the road.
Okay.
Okay, all right. Because you said when you first started.
When you're first starting it, yeah.
Okay.
It goes up to about 260, about maxes out on the gauge. And then it drops like a rock, and then it'll continue to do this. Unless you go for over 60 miles continuously, then it might run
so
at normal
temperature. If they didn't have the flavor of ice cream you wanted at the first place, then you go on the other 30 miles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it'll actually just run at a normal operating temperature. Otherwise, it'll go up and down like a yo-yo.
How fast does it drop out of from 260?
Well, it's not boom right down to 110, but it's close to that.
To 110?
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you were staring at it, you'd see it really drop like a rock.
Yeah.
This is good.
This is good?
Yeah.
My wife would be pleased to hear that. Because in the last couple of years, we've had two radiators put in. Actually,
oh man, who did that?
Well, there's extenuating circumstances.
Yeah, no.
Okay, fine.
The first radiator was replaced because I have guinea fowl, and they like to look for bugs in the radiator, and they pecked holes in those new fancy aluminum radiators.
Yeah.
So then that was all replaced.
Yeah. Okay. None of these radiators is going to fix the problem that you described.
No.
To us.
And I've put in 4 thermostats personally.
Yeah, that was going to be my wild guess that the radiator wasn't involved.
The radiator is not involved, and when you first described the problem, I was convinced it was the thermostat too, but it isn't the thermostat, I can tell you that.
Okay.
It's impossible for the temperature to go from 260 to 110.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
So, if it's impossible, then it ain't happening, which means that there isn't anything wrong with the cooling system.
Okay.
What's got to be wrong with it is a faulty TSU, which is
absolutely
the temperature sending unit, which is the device, which is basically a resistor that is sending the signal to the gauge on the dashboard.
Okay.
And as the resistance in this thing drops, it allows more current to pass through it, and as such, it makes the needle move higher. And that's easy enough to replace, and it probably costs less than $20.
Okay.
I am required
under law
by the FCC to ask you one other question, which could throw a wet blanket on all of this.
Don't ask him.
Okay.
Does the engine, when you've come to a stop, ever race when it's warmed up?
No.
Oh, thank God. All right. Change that temperature sending unit, and you may be all right.
All right.
See you, Nathan.
Thanks for calling.
I appreciate the help.
All righty. Good luck. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
All right. In just a minute, I will make a grilled eggplant emerge from my left ear.
You will?
No, but I figured after that promo, even my lousy puzzler will sound intellectual. We'll be back in a minute.
These are days when I'd cry for weeks.
And even though the IRS stamps the network's returns audit mercilessly whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
Right now, every household in the country is being asked to fill out the U.S. Census. It's the form that helps us determine how voting districts are redrawn, where to build public schools and hospitals, how to spend federal money. So why are some people afraid to fill it out? We're getting into all that this week on NPR's Code Switch podcast.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
I can hardly wait. I am going to just stick this in my brain, and I am going to remember this Puzzler.
You're going to stick it where the sun doesn't shine? Okay. You know what inspired me to use this Puzzler? All these envelopes that are in front of us here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and here's the Puzzler. It's very simple. We have, I don't know, dozens and dozens of envelopes sitting on the table here, and here's the puzzle. I'm going to hand you $1,000 in $1 bills, okay? And your job... Okay,
forget my job. I'm never coming back.
...is to put some of those dollar bills in the envelopes in such a manner that no matter what number of dollars I ask you for, you can hand me, and you're free to label the envelopes, but you can't open them.
Yeah.
You will hand me the appropriate number of envelopes so I can have that exact amount of money.
Well, I have one question.
Yes.
Why did you say envelopes? Isn't
envelopes.
It envelopes?
Well, you know, I was trying to sound a little more erudite, you know? And you had to go and ruin it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an envelope to me.
It's an envelope?
But if you want to use it
the
in the
envelope.
Puzzler...
The envelope, please? What do they say at the Oscars?
The envelope, please.
I don't think so. I think they say the envelope, please.
I don't think so.
I was just trying to raise the bar a little bit, you yahoo. All right, so I'm going to give you a bunch of envelopes. You can have as many envelopes as you want, basically. And I'm giving you $1,000 in $1 bills.
Yeah.
And your task is to apportion those ones into those envelopes in such a way that no matter what amount of money I ask you for, you will hand me some number of envelopes to satisfy my demand. That's simple, right?
Well, no, there must be more to it because I could just use 1,000 envelopes.
Well, the question is, what's the fewest number of envelopes?
Oh, now you tell me.
Envelopes.
Oh.
You can use envelopes if you want. I want you to use envelopes.
The fewest
number. What's the fewest number and what do you put in them? I mean, obviously money, but what do you put in each of the envelopes? How much money?
See, my answer was easy.
1,000
envelopes. A buck in each one.
Well, yeah.
Why do I need the envelopes, I was saying to myself.
Well, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a Gibson Super 200 cutaway custom acoustic guitar handcrafted in Bozeman, Montana from hand-selected solid Sitka spruce with curly maple back and sides, ebony 20-fret fingerboard, mother of pearl inlays, tortoise Super 200 pickguard, hard shell case, and the complete Robert Earl Keen songbook. And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
Right now, if you have a car question for us, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tim in Manassas.
Manassas?
Tim in Manassas.
Yeah.
Manassas what?
Manassas, Virginia, of course.
Oh, so what's up?
Well, I have this great little car, and I put it back together, and it won't start.
What is it?
It's a little Fiat, actually.
No! Is it a Fiat Spider?
It's a Fiat 2000 Spider.
Oh, no! Come on, you gotta be kidding me!
Oh, no, it's the best little 2000 Spider.
What year?
1980.
Do you know what I bought the other day? I bought a 1979 Fiat 2000 Spider.
Well, then you're obviously qualified to tell me how to fix it.
No, it's stuck in my driveway. I can't get it running.
It's stuck in third gear.
I said I bought it. I haven't driven it yet.
Oh. That's it.
All right, what's the problem?
Well, I was driving it along one day, back when it drove, and made kind of a loud noise, and it quit running. So, being the smart man that I was, I just had it shipped to a shop to be fixed. But they wanted enough money to quadruple its value to me to fix it. And what they said had happened was that the tensioner pulley that holds the timing belt in had destroyed itself.
Oh, you bent the valves.
No, I didn't. That's the good news.
You lucky stiff.
I am, because the thing is, when it destroyed itself, the timing chain didn't actually slip off. It just slipped a few notches.
We know this for a fact. How do we know this?
Well, that's a really good question, because he said he did a compression check, and of course it was out of time, so there was no compression. But he's given me his best estimate that the valves and the pistons are still working.
So he's just going to put a new belt and a tensioner on it.
Well, that's what he suggested I do, or pay him a fortune to do.
How much did he want?
$750.
Oh!
Well, like I said, he wanted to quadruple its value. I did what he told me to do. And it won't start.
No, that his diagnosis was wrong. You need to do another compression. I mean, I'll tell you, these things bend valves at the drop of a hat.
Okay.
So it's very likely that you bent valves.
Yeah, I'm not convinced.
And why did he want $750? It's a trivial job.
Well, that's what I thought, because I did, as I've mentioned, put it.
Yeah. How long did it take you to do it?
Well,
how many weekends? Three.
At least three, but most of that was getting the primary nut off.
Picking up the beer.
Sure, that means he could have done it in 3 hours.
I think that's so, right.
And you're sure, you're confident that you lined up the two sprockets for the cams correctly?
I'm pretty sure.
And now he's saying, what two sprockets?
Wait a minute, now why do you have no compression?
Oh, I don't say I have no compression. What? The only thing I've gotten,
said something about, I jumped a couple of notches, so it's out of time, so I have no compression.
Well, that's what he told me when I took it to the shop.
If it were enough out of time, you could have no compression because the valves would be opening at the wrong time.
Right.
So it's possible when the piston is coming up on this compression stroke, one of the valves is open up. But
yes.
If it's open up too much, it's going to get bent. That's the problem.
But see, if it's that far off that you really have no compression,
then
something is fishy. Because if it's only off a notch or two, you're going to have compression, because it doesn't matter that they're closing at the wrong time. They're closing, more or less.
Well, you may have had some compression. You may have had 25 pounds of cylinder.
I think maybe he did say poor compression.
Poor, yeah. So,
poor, okay.
But it's possible that you can't improve the poor, and you now have to remove the cylinder head.
Well, do another compression test, because now if you have solved the problem of the valves closing at the wrong time, and that would mean that you put the timing belt on correctly, then you should have full compression. You should have the full 80 pounds. Actually, no, the compression on this should be like 120, 130 pounds.
Okay.
So if it won't start and you don't have compression, then it ain't going to start because you ain't got no compression. And then you're in trouble.
I am. I mean, after I put it on, I had my wife push me up and down the street two or three times, and it don't start.
Yeah. Do the compression test. That's going to tell you all.
Okay.
Now, if the timing belt took you three weekends, you'll be driving this thing, with any luck, by Labor Day weekend.
By Labor Day, who needs a convertible?
Hey, that's right. There
Tim,
you go.
If, God forbid, if none of this works out for the best, and believe me, I have great empathy for you, but I could use a parts car.
Good luck, Tim.
Do the compression test and let us know what happens.
Thank you much.
Good luck, man.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Eva Marie from Alexandria, Virginia.
Eva Marie?
Yes.
So your friends call you Eva Marie?
Most of them call me Eva.
Just Eva.
Eva has a kind of ethnicity to it.
It's Polish, actually.
Ah! I knew it.
Uh-huh.
Polish. Are your mother Polish?
Yes, my whole family's Polish.
Whole family's Polish.
Yes. Ah, Eva Marie Brostomkowski.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I've known some Poles in my day.
They're very nice, wonderful people.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Unbelievable people.
Mm-hmm. Great drink, great partiers.
Oh, yeah.
Say nothing of their bowling prowess.
As a matter of fact, I maybe shouldn't say.
Now, why is it, why do Polish people get associated with bowling? What is it?
I don't know.
Maybe you can explain it to me.
I really don't know. My mom and dad are both really good bowlers, though.
See?
There you go.
They really are.
I have a dear friend that I went to high school and college with. He's a professor at Brown University, Stanley Zadonik, who to this day still has his own bowling ball.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's one thing to be a good bowler, but to still have your own bowling ball.
That's pretty, yeah.
It is. It's very strange.
Yeah.
It is very strange.
Well, that is true.
Anyway, what's up, okay. Eva? Marie?
Well, this is going to sound like a silly question, I think, but I need some help. I have, right now I'm driving a Camry. Mm-hmm. I've had it for about 5 weeks, and I love it. It's a great car.
Four or six cylinder?
It's a four cylinder.
Mm-hmm.
Good choice.
And thank you. And it's a five-speed manual transmission. And this
great.
Is the first time in a while. Actually, this is the first stick shift that I've ever owned, and it's the first time in a while that I've had to drive a stick shift.
Ah.
Anyway, around here, driving it's no problem because it's relatively flat here. We don't have a lot of hills
yeah.
or anything like that.
Right.
A few weeks ago, I went up to Pennsylvania to visit my family. And where my parents live, it's like hills in every
Uh-oh.
Direction. So I was coming up I-81, and I was doing fine until I got to, like, the last part of my trip where
yeah.
it is kind of steep. And
there's a traffic light at the top of it.
Well, no. The car just started losing power. I mean, I was going slower and slower and slower, and I didn't know what to do. I
what gear were you in? Five?
Yeah, I was in fifth. I was in fifth gear.
Oh.
And it just seemed like it was slowing down.
Yeah.
I finally mentioned this to my dad around the end of the weekend, and he goes, well, you're downshifting, right? And I was like, downshifting?
That's exactly what I was going to ask.
What's downshifting? I have no idea about downshifting.
Really? Well, it's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you the rule very simple.
If it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's
mm-hmm.
upshifting.
That's
if
right.
If it's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
is
that's downshifting.
Well, I was
right.
going to get a little deeper into it than that, but that's good enough, I suppose.
That's about it. In fact, you don't even have to go in order. It can be 5, 3, 1.
Is that 5, 3, 2. See, someone
5, 4, 2.
Now, somebody told me that I have to go in order. Like,
no.
Okay.
Well, generally, being a novice downshifter like
mm-hmm.
you are, first thing I would do is I would go in order. After you become accomplished at it,
mm-hmm.
you can get to gear skipping.
Gear skipping.
Gear skipping is to be avoided by the uninitiated.
You can do that going up as well as down.
Yeah, but don't get it confused.
We don't want to confuse them.
Now, let me tell you, though, that I did try this. You know, I tried downshifting once because I've been told that you can use it to slow down the car.
There you go.
And I tried it, and, oh, my God, the engine made this horrible noise. And I
yeah.
immediately put it back into the gear it was in and left it there because it just sounded like it was going to fall out of the car or something like that. I mean, it was awful.
Do
I thought I had
do
really
you,
done something.
Understand the basic reason for shifting?
Well, it's not. It's because the transmission isn't automatic and it's not shifting on its own, so you've got to put it in gear.
But why do you have to shift at all? I mean, what's shifting got to do with anything?
I don't know.
Ah, there we go.
I don't know.
Do you have a bicycle?
Do I have one? Yeah.
Yeah. Does it have a shifter?
Oh, yeah.
The reason you shift speeds in your bicycle is, for example, when you climb hills, you don't have enough leg power
mm-hmm.
to climb a hill in the highest gear.
Okay.
Let's say you had a three-speed bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
First gear would be for accelerating from a dead stop.
How about
stop.
A five-speed bicycle?
How about a five-speed?
Okay.
There you go. And you would, and first gear would be from starting off at a dead stop or climbing steep hills.
Okay.
And fifth gear would be for going downhill, believe it or not, and accelerating, or going along a level road
mm-hmm.
and maintaining your speed while expending the absolute smallest amount of energy.
You noticed when you're in the high gear mm-hmm. on the bike, the bike goes a long distance for one rotation of your legs.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
But
when you're in low gear, you've got to pedal like mad, but it's easy.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You're pedaling fast, but you're not expending much energy because it's easy to turn the pedals.
Okay.
So the same thing applies in your car. Your engine has a given amount of power,
mm-hmm.
and you can't get any more out of it than
like
it, than
your,
it has.
Like your legs.
Like your legs.
Okay.
So when you're trying to climb a hill, if you're in the wrong speed, the engine is going to labor and is going to lose power.
And that's why the car is going slow up the hill.
That's why it's
yeah.
going more slowly than you want it to go. So in order to make it go faster, you have to select a lower gear, just like you would with your bike. So if you were climbing a hill with your bicycle and you were huffing and puffing, you'd shift from fifth to fourth.
Okay.
Same thing with your car.
Yeah, and that you shouldn't worry about the noise that it makes.
Really?
Because that's
fine. That sounded horrible.
Well, but you shouldn't downshift, for example, from fifth to second.
Okay, well, see, that's
at 50 miles an hour, because that could be dangerous.
Okay.
That's why we didn't want you to get into gear skipping.
Gear skipping.
Yeah, we'll skip over that for now.
Okay.
For the moment, here's the practical thing to do. When you're going up a hill.
Mm-hmm.
The moment that you notice that the car is slowing down, you immediately shift to the next lower gear. So if you're in fifth, go to fourth.
Okay.
If you're in fourth, go to third.
Okay.
And any time that you notice that the car is slowing down, you step on the gas, and if it doesn't move, mm-hmm. if it doesn't accelerate when you step on the gas, you're in too high a gear. Shift down again.
Okay.
Assuming that you have a tachometer on the dashboard,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
And you might want to just notice where the tachometer happens to read when you're shifting.
Okay.
For example, it gets up to probably 3,500 RPM before you shift from first to second.
That's
and then
right.
And then you go from second, and before you shift into third, it is then climbed to 3,500.
Okay.
So it's probably inadvisable to go much beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
So you should try to keep your RPM, you know, below 3,500, but, you know, probably above 2,000.
All right, then I will go ahead and try that.
Good
okay,
luck,
Eva Marie.
Thank you very much.
See ya.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Finally, a question we could answer.
Well, barely. And we didn't even fight over the answer.
A question not only we could answer, but we could agree on.
And it consumed half the show. How could we be better than that?
Yeah, that's good.
Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy, Frogman Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Marseille Frise Filet Fouché and Creme Brulee Soiree, it's Bugsy Lawler.
He's here today, you know.
I know. I says he's back. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Car Talk Plaza senior ornithologist is Seymour Robbins. Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Outavindo. Our director of Pavlovian research is Isabel Ringing. And our Russian chauffeur is Pikov and Dropoff. Our French vacation specialist is April Lynn Paris.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
Our Australian tour guide is Joaquin Matilda. And our seat cushion tester, of course, is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Camus-quoting baristas in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and Don't Drive Like My Brother.
And by the way,
you're right.
Don't drive like my brother.
I won't. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 2014, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and check out our nausea-inducing clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got an old car that's seen better days? Well, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now before your local neighborhood watch group labels your car an eyesore and plants geraniums in it. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the universe has second thoughts about expanding whenever we say it, this is NPR.